Praise the Lord. Very glad to be with you this evening. And we trust that the Lord will move and give you bread to eat and wine to drink. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was just returning from Europe. We spent 6 weeks over there. And we came back on Tuesday. And I left to come here yesterday. So it's been a very busy time for us ever since July the 4th when the Lord spoke to me concerning the end time, concerning His coming, and concerning what it was that needed to be done before that advent. The message was so great and so much on me that I dropped all my personal business and started running. Last year I ran up about 88,000 miles, traveling around the United States plus going over into Europe. This year it looks like we will have at least that much, if not more. Because I really believe that the Lord is opening a door for us, that there is an invitation that is being sent out to us, that there is a feast that is being prepared, and that there is a need for us to be first and foremost aware of our situations concerning our calling and election. And second of all, I think it's very important for us to be aware of the jeopardy that we stand in concerning the fact of not possibly measuring up or meeting the mark that we need to meet. Now that mark is not a mark that you set, that's not a mark that I set, that's a mark that God sets. Because He knows the potentiality, He knows the position, the place of your strength, He knows your desires, He knows the capabilities that you had. And I was talking with Brother Gordon and Sister Sandy earlier this evening, and I'm not so much convinced that any of us are going to make the mark that has been set for us. That is not so much the question in mind. It is the tenacity or the willingness or the desire that we have to make it. And, you know, it could be just in the aspect of getting knocked down and getting back up. Getting knocked down, getting back up. Getting knocked down, getting back up. And it's the getting up, you may not move more than an inch or two, but the fact that you get up after the devil hits you with everything that he can hit you, and you get up, then there is something that is demonstrated in the spirit, and there is something that is accomplished, and there's some overcoming that you do, whether you're aware of it or not. Praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. If you want to get excited about it, get excited. I won't be embarrassed by you. Hallelujah. Some of you might be embarrassed by me, but I will not be embarrassed by you. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, we want to open them to Malachi, the third chapter. This is where I'm going to start this evening. I don't know where I will end up. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I even forget to have to tell you the verse that I'm preaching out of. But tonight, I'm giving it to you right up front. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, we're supposed to be a tribulation people. Did you know that? We're supposed to be people who want tribulation. Hallelujah. We're a people that desire tribulation.
Amen.
You're grinning, but you're not saying amen, Frank. Hallelujah. We're supposed to be a people that understand the need for tribulation. I have found out one thing, and one thing that is a revelation to me personally, is that I know that I need tribulation. If it wasn't for the tribulation, I don't think that I would be doing too much of anything except for possibly enjoying life, if that is possible. But anyway, in the aspect of all of it, we are supposed to be tribulation people. Not looking at the tribulation, not looking at the pain, the suffering, the hard times, the things that press on us and make us uncomfortable, but looking, as it were, to the finished product, to the goal that has been set before us, because that's what it says about Jesus Christ, right? It said, for the goal that was set before Him, we what? Suffered the shame of the cross, huh? Went to the grave, and rose, resurrected, and sat down where?
Yes.
On the right hand of God. Where do you want to be, brother? Where? What side? I don't care what side I'm on, just as long as it's one of them. Huh? I don't want to be in front of Him. I don't want to be in back of Him. I want to be beside Him. You know, James and John had the revelation of position. They did. They said, "But we want to sit one on your left, one on your right." You know, some people are just comfortable with making it in through the door. That's not where I want to be. That's not what I want to be. That's not in the position or the place that I think that you want to be. I think you want to be somewhere in the proximity of His throne, right? And that doesn't mean in front of it, although there is a place of adoration and worship. I'm not doing away with that, brethren. Hallelujah. And He is the head. He's worthy of all praise. Without Him, none of it would be available. None of it would be accomplished. But if there is something in it that He wants to give me, am I going to say no? I hope not. Although we do say no on a lot of situations and a lot of circumstances by our attitudes. Hallelujah. Malachi chapter 3. Before I get into that, let me go back to the July 4th conference. I think I may have shared a little bit with you November when I was here, but I was sitting in the July 4th conference, and I don't really remember who was speaking or what was being spoken, other than that the Holy Ghost was speaking to me while they were speaking. So I suppose it was the anointing that was stirring me up in the aspect of being able to hear and listen to what it was God was saying. He said, "You've kind of got the cart before the horse." And I said, "What do you mean, got the cart?" He says, with regards to what? Because, you know, I've been seeking the Lord very seriously, very earnestly concerning His coming. There's been much talk about it and much things that are being spoken. And so I was wrestling with the Lord because I'm supposed to be able to hear from God. I'm supposed to know what it is that God is doing. So, and it's not just me. Come on, come on, come on. It's you also. You're supposed to know what it is that God is saying, that you can be able to confirm or stand up and contest with it. You and I are supposed to be able to hear from God. So I was wrestling with the Lord, and I was asking Him about these things, and He said to me, "You kind of got the cart before the horse." And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" And He said, "Well, there are certain events that have to take place prior to my coming. And you got me coming before those prior events. You have to have the prior event and then the coming." And that made me say, "Well, all right. Then what was it that God did in the beginning when He came?" Well, what He did was that He divinely intervened in the affairs of humanity. Hello. Come on. He appeared to a man called Zechariah. Huh? While he was in service in his course at the temple, and Zechariah and his wife were beyond the point of bearing. They had passed that position of life, and now they were settling down into old age. Hallelujah. God, help me not to settle down into old age. help me to rise up in the midst of old age that I might be able to overcome it. And you know, I think God does some of these things for a reason. You know, I think He does it for a reason. He picks certain scenarios, certain situations. I never thought that I would be as old as I was, as old as I am, and getting older every day, watching my children grow up, watching my grandchildren grow up to where they are no longer looking down at them, but I'm looking straight across or up. Never thought that I would be at this place. Never thought. I thought Jesus would come before this. Hallelujah. And it's not a wrong thought, because the imminent return... the imminent return of Jesus Christ is a pertinent doctrine in the Bible. The disciples were looking for Him. The disciples were looking for Him. You can see it in their writings. They can see it in the things that they say. The imminent return of Jesus Christ. We are supposed to be a people who are expecting God to come tomorrow.
Amen.
Of course, we don't act like it. We really don't. I think we all have the theology of 30 years. Plus or minus, a year or two. Hallelujah. Well, if we were really true, so I don't know that we really would want Jesus to come tomorrow. Not because it would make us, not because He might find something wrong with us or we're not in the right place, but it would kind of disturb our lifestyle. Of course, you probably don't have a lifestyle, right? You don't have programs, you don't have aspirations or desires, things you want to do, things you want to go, places you want to see. No, you probably don't have any of those things. But the fact of the matter is, there's a lot of humanity that does want those types of things. And a lot of that humanity is in the church. And unfortunately, it's in the end time church of the overcomers. It seems as though we have lost our breath. Have you ever watched those long distance runners, you know? You know, when I was young, I went out for, what was it, the 220, the 440, what was it? Huh? It was a long run. And they always are talking to you about your second run, your second win, your second win. Well, I didn't know, I was having trouble with the first, much less the second one. And I didn't quite know what it was until one day I was running, and I'm coming down the backstrip, and I feel like I'm going to fall on my face. And all of a sudden, it was like somebody stuck a hypodermic needle in me and gave me a shot of adrenaline. Hallelujah. And when I got done, somebody said, "That's your second win." Hallelujah. Well, I think a lot of us need that shot. I think a lot of us need that exhilarating feeling of the input or the breath of God. But God isn't going to give it to you unless you start seeking Him for it. Amen. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you something. This end time word, these things that pertain to sons of God, are not something God just gives you and I freely. He gives us the information. He gives us the revelation. Hello? Hallelujah. He gives us the concept of it. Why? So that we can just walk into it and press the button like you turn on the light and all of a sudden, bango, bingo, we're a son of God? Absolutely not. He gives it to you. He gives it to me in order to excite something in us that will excite us enough to get us up off of our chair and motivate us to begin to press Him for it. Hallelujah. The only thing that God gave you and I is what He was obligated to give us in the very beginning was salvation. That's all He was obligated to do. And you really have nothing to do with that. Because God intervened in your life. He came in a miraculous way. You know, many times people have approached me and they talked to me about God and I just fluffed them off, brushed them off. But one day somebody said something that clicked home and it was the same thing that I probably have heard 25 other times and did nothing about it. But somehow, some way, in that moment, something clicked in my mind and my life changed irrevocably. Irrevocably changed. It was unchangeable up to that. Not that it couldn't change, it was just that I had tasted something greater than the thing that I had, and I wanted it more than what I had wanted before. And then on top of that, there was something of a word that God sent into my mother's living room for almost 3 weeks, night after night, listening to this thing about God, and I have found out that I could know God in a personal, living way. Didn't have to sit in a congregation listening to somebody else tell me about God. I had an opportunity by which I might move into the presence of God, and He would be able to share with me the revelation of Himself.
Glory.
I wanted it.
Jesus.
I mean, I wanted it. I wanted it. I wanted it so bad that I began to press Him for it. And you know what? He gave me a little bit at a time, little bit at a time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it started me on a journey over 40-some years ago, maybe 50 years ago now. I don't know how long ago it was, but it was long enough back to be a long, long time ago. Hallelujah. In a land far, far away. Hallelujah. Malachi, the third chapter. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. There was a messenger that was going to be sent before the appearance of Jesus Christ, as we saw him in the scriptures and recognized the position of his ministry. There was a messenger. A messenger is a word from God. Now, this particular messenger was represented in a physical form known as John the Baptist. But John the Baptist wasn't the epitome or the totality of what it was that God wanted. It was what God put in John and the word that he began to share that had the reality and the ability in it to change people's lives. It was a word. It was a ministration of a word. Hallelujah. And if you go into John, the Gospel of John, and you begin to look into the aspects, and especially in the 17th chapter of John, where John goes into the actuality and the reality of the Word. Again and again and again, you hear the thought of the Word. I have given them thy Word. and it was able to keep them. The Word was always able to do something. The old Word was always able to save them. So here in July, the Lord began to talk to me about the position, the place of the need for that ministry or that spirit to be loosed in the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I say loosed in the earth, I mean it's not just a word that someone preaches. Do you understand? But when God looses a word, that word has power. That word has power to do what it was that God wanted it to do. Now, you can resist that word. You have the ability to cancel out that word. You have the ability to nullify or to defeat that word. That is your power. That is my power. Hallelujah. It is a power that God gave us by the virtue of giving us free will and free choice. Hallelujah. You know, I don't understand the mind of God and all of that. I probably would have just made you all robots. Huh? I probably would. Of course, you probably wouldn't have done that. Well, and you would have done everything I told you to do. You would have done it how I wanted you to do it. Have you ever noticed that? You're working for somebody and you're doing something, huh? And they say, well, I wouldn't have done it like that. Huh? You ever had that experience? I worked for a contractor one time. You know, I lived in California, and I lived over on the Central Valley of California and over on the other side, close to Sodom and Gomorrah, and also known as San Francisco. There's a place called Livermore, or Liverpool, or Liver something. Hallelujah. My goodness, it's been so long. And I had to go to work for him because I ran out of work where I was. And I had to go all the way over there. It was about an hour and a half drive for me to get over there. And I was a contractor in my own right, had been building for many years. And I had to go to work for them. Of course, that was kind of humbling, you know. I had to go to work for him and do what he wanted me to do and the way that he wanted me to do it. And he's always telling me, I wouldn't have done it like that. And I would tell him, I said, I'd look around and say, well, I didn't see you around. And I had a decision to make. And I don't know who you are, and I don't know what you are, so I had to do it myself. And I had to do it my own way. My goodness. Get you in trouble every time. Every time. Get you in trouble every time. Matter of free will, matter of free choice to do it as you want to do it, as you think that it needs to be done. But God didn't see it that way. He didn't make you and I robots. He gave within you the ability to choose whether to do it or not to do it. Hallelujah. And it's a kind of a scary situation, brethren, because here we are, given that power, and we really know nothing about what it is that we're deciding. Because we really haven't taken the time to find out. We don't know God. You know what the problem was with Israel when Jesus Christ came? They didn't know God. Did you know that? They knew a lot about God. They knew some of the concepts and the precepts of what God was, but they did not know God. Do you know what condemnation is? In the aspect of the word that Jesus Christ spoke when he was ministering? What was the reason for the rejection of the five foolish virgins? Now remember, they went out and bought oil. Remember that? Do you remember? Now, I'm not misreading the Bible, am I? Huh? They were told to go out and buy oil, weren't they? So I'm talking about the five wives. Are you there? Hello? Huh? Are you here? Are you not going to sleep, right? Okay, not yet, right. Huh? They were told they couldn't come in because they had no oil, right? They had to go out and buy the oil. Your Bible says that, right? Didn't it say that? I just want to make sure then I'm not twisting the scriptures for you. Hallelujah. And they were told to go out and buy it. So they went out and then they came back. Now that means they must have bought, right? Hello? Yeah. They must have bought. Well, did it qualify them? Did the door open?
No.
Go back and read your Bibles. Huh? The door did not open. What was the condemnation? What was the word of judgment? You know, we as Christians don't like the word condemnation, but I'm afraid it's in the Bible.
Wasn't it, I don't know you?
You're right. Your Bible says the same thing as mine says, John. Praise the Lord. You must have King James, right? Hallelujah. I do not know you. Well, if that isn't good enough for you, there's another place in the scripture that deals with the same subject, the same topic of not knowing God. Huh? They said, Lord, Lord, did we not cast out what? Demons in your name? Did we not what? Heal the sick? Did we not what? Raise the dead? Did we not what? Preach and save people? Well, they didn't really save them. God saved them because God honors the position, the place of the sinner in wanting to save them. Hallelujah. I saw a man who wasn't saved minister to a man that wasn't saved, and the man who wasn't saved that was being ministered to got saved. And you're going to say, well, that can't be. Oh, yes, it is. Because God honors His Word. It says, if I will make confession with the mouth, what? Huh? God, you will be. Come on. The four spiritual walls, come on. My goodness. If you will confess with your mouth, what? And what will happen? Thou shalt be saved. And the man got saved. And you could see the joy on his face. And the other guy was sitting there wondering what happened. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's something about God that is so absolutely marvelous and so totally out beyond ourselves. But the fact of the matter is, you and I have a decision to make. Salvation is something that God brings and lays on your plate, and He does everything He possibly can do to get you into that position. But sonship is something of a different caliber. Sonship is something of a different quality. Sonship is something that you have to want. Yeah. Have you ever wanted something really bad? Huh? What did you do to get it, and then you got it? You probably were as unhappy with it as I was. I wanted a new car. I was tired of all these junkers that I was having to continually work on or kick the tires because they wouldn't work. And I thought, I figured that if I finally was able to have a new car, then all of those things would dissipate and I would overcome. Huh? The new car was going to help me overcome because I wouldn't have those things to deal with. Huh? Of course, you don't think of overcoming in that way, do you? Hallelujah. So, and you know, the problem was I didn't believe in debt. I did not want to go in debt for a new car. So I saved my pennies. And I saved and I scraped and I scraped and I saved. And I got a family. I have a family of two or three, that, and it was growing. And I was working hard, and we were doing without some things, and I was putting that money. Finally, I got all the money I needed, and I went down and I did investigation. Huh? You've got to be wise stewards, right? You've got to be sure that what you're spending your money on is worth the fact of what you're spending your money on, because you want to be a wise steward with your money, right? So I was being wise. I investigated this and I investigated that. And I finally decided, because, what is it, the Mechanics National Magazine or something, said this was the Car of the Year Award and blah, 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 blah. And so I went down and I bought one of those things. My God. I no more got it home and it started giving me problems. Huh? And it gave me problems, 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 problems. Problem after problem. Huh? Until I finally got rid of it. In fact, what happened is we came down here for a visit with my family one time, and on the way home, it just died completely. It quit. It died. It wasn't resurrectable. And I sold it for enough money to put my family on an airplane, hallelujah, and get on the airplane myself and land and get us home, carless. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God, we need to understand the reality of what it is that God is speaking to us. We need to have, oh, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss it, do you hear? We are going to miss it. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you something. The word that I heard 50 years ago hasn't changed. It's the same word today as it was yesterday, and it's going to be the same tomorrow. Do you hear me? The availability, the opportunity is being presented to us, the household of faith, as it was being presented to the household of faith in that hour. Do you not remember the cry of grief that was on the master's heart as he stood upon the hill? And I don't know, and it would not surprise me if it wasn't Zion's hill that he was standing on and overlooking Jerusalem. And he said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, what? I would have gathered you. I would have gathered you as a hen gathered her chicks, but you would not be gathered." They resisted the move of the Holy Ghost for whatever reason. Whatever the thought was, there was something within them that did not want to submit to the process that God initiated in the advent or the coming of Jesus Christ. What happened is they missed the prior visitation. Do you hear me? They missed the prior visitation. The publicans were coming out to John. The harlots were coming out to John. The army was coming out to John. The sinners were coming out to John to hear. And the only reason why the religious society came was to examine and to find some sort of fault. You remember what John said, ye generations, huh? A viper. Oh boy. If somebody called you and me a viper, would you, huh? But we are standing in the same place. Do you understand that? We are standing in the same place. We are being presented with the same opportunity. Hallelujah. As Jesus Christ, as John sent, John, as God sent John before Jesus Christ, so God is now sending a word out, hallelujah, of repentance, contrition, rededication, and consecration. That's what John was preaching. He was going to turn what? The hearts of the Father to the children and the hearts of the children to the Father. Well, what are we talking about? We're talking about God's love for us, hallelujah, and our love for Him. Isn't that what he said? In those days I will make what? A new covenant. Did he say that? Or is that just my Bible? He said, in those days, what days? These days. Whose days? Your days, my days. Those are the days that God is talking about. My God, what do we need? A baseball bat between the eyes? Hallelujah. Well, some of us are going to get the baseball bat and we won't regain consciousness in time to do what it needs to be done in order to be a part of it. Hallelujah. I don't want the baseball bat. Hallelujah. Tribulation, yes, but no baseball bat. I don't want to be drug into the kingdom by the skin of my teeth, as my mother used to say. Huh? Hallelujah. I want to walk in under my own volition, not because I have to, but because I want to. But then the only way I'm going to get into that position or get into that place is if I have something of a knowledge of who He is and want it. You know, everywhere I've gone in the last 6 weeks, God said revival, revival, revival. And boy, I want to tell you what, we don't know what's going on over there. We don't. We're not told about it. We're not told of the position, the place of the globalization of Europe. We're not told about it. We don't know the ramifications of a united Europe. But you know, they're having just as much problem financially and economically as we are. Hallelujah. And they're in trouble as much as we are. And they look at us and they think, oh my, look, you guys are really in trouble. I just look back at them, yes, we are. We're in so much trouble that our trouble is going to run over and it's going to be your trouble. And it's already their trouble. You know that Greece, Italy, Portugal, Spain, and there's one more country, all of them need what we have termed a bailout. And their mathematicians as well as their economists are telling them that if they bail them out, they will bankrupt the EU and all of the aspects of what it is that they are trying to do. Hallelujah. Not only that, but you know that the euro, which was the golden dollar that was supposed to replace the American dollar, is dropped 18% on the time that I went to Europe. 18% it dropped. That's a big drop. And they're looking at, and they are prophesying, the economists are prophesying that it's going to totally collapse. Well, that's nothing new to us, is it? Look at your own financial situation, and if that isn't enough, look at the situation of America. We're just printing money, nothing behind it. Your inflation goes up, your deficit goes up. I don't understand it, except that it spells catastrophe and a way of living that we have known for so many years is coming to a close.
Yeah.
Do you hear me?
Yeah.
Do you know there are secular prophets? You know, you know what secular prophets are? There are people who are trained in the economy, in policies and aspects of world running systems. Running world systems. Huh? They're trained in it. They go to school, they got more letters after their name than I got letters in my name. Huh? That's how educated, you know, that's how you know you're really educated, is you got these little groups of three right after your name, and the more you got, the more you get paid. And the smarter you become. Hallelujah. Well, one thing I have to hand them, they're finding out what the Bible says about the end time. Huh? Hello? Are you there? Huh? Are you there? Are you really there? Are you sleeping? Huh? So they are prophesying destruction, financial destruction. They're prophesying. They're telling. Three years, it's always 2 years when I tell it, you know. Of course, I think I've been telling it for 2 years, so it could have been 4 years. Hallelujah. But several years ago, I was in the Czech Republic, and they were reading to me an article in their newspaper. And it was by their leading anthropologist. You know what an anthropologist is, right? There's somebody that watches civilizations, huh? And examines them and determines the course of mankind by the fact of what's happening within the civilization. Or they investigate dead civilizations. Huh? Isn't that what I think that's what an anthropologist does, isn't it? You don't know, do you? Well, I'm just as dumb as you were, dear. Don't worry about it. Hallelujah. All thing I know is he had several numbers after his name. Several letters after his name. And he was what they call the leading one in the Czech, so he must have been really up there on the top of the heap. Huh? And he was prophesying. Hello? He was prophesying that in order for the Czech Republic people, Czech people, to maintain their lifestyle in the fashion and in the place of how they have become accustomed to, that they were going to have to import 1.5 million domestic workers in order to maintain that lifestyle. 1,500,000 domestic workers. Where are they going to get them? That means as a civilization, as a race, they are becoming extinct. Hello? And if you think that isn't scary, you should look at your statistics. And you should look at all the other statistics concerning civilization. For a civilization to survive, it has to have 1.9 children per household. These aren't my numbers. This is not something I dug up out of my archives to try to impress you. This was something that came across my email by somebody who knows what they are talking about. Because they examine those things. They are involved in those things. They do this math that's involved in those things. And the only race that isn't in this category of extinction is the Islamic Arabic world. We are all 1.9 or less. You have to have 1.9 to sustain. Just to make even. Huh? Just to remain even. You have to have 1.9. Most civilizations are now at 1.6. Some of them are at 1.3. It's like handwriting on the wall. And what do? We yawn, roll over, and go back to sleep. We yawn, roll over, and go back to sleep. Huh? What are we supposed to do? Get nervous, start wringing our hands, or start yelling, or sweating, or getting perturbed because we can't do anything about it? Absolutely not. What we are supposed to do as a people is get into God.
Amen.
That's what the thing is saying. That is what the Word of God is saying, that we are to get into Him. We are to press into Him. Yeah. We are to spend time in the Word.
Hallelujah.
You know, I don't pick my Bible up and read it just expecting a revelation. Sometimes I just enjoy reading it. I enjoy reading it or listening to it. I used to have it in my tractor. I plug in my CD and turn it on and crank it up so it was above the noise of the tractor. Hallelujah. And just drive back and forth across that field all day long. And sometimes I'd be up there going like this, you know. And it wasn't because I was bouncing over the field. Hallelujah. It was because there was the presence of God. He was there. He was ministering to me. And I have never found anything that I have not been involved with that God hasn't talked to me again and again and again and again. Usually it's about me. Surprise, surprise. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is a word that God is loosing in the heavenlies. Do you hear me, brethren? He's loosing a word, and that word is a word that is to draw you and me, and it's not only a word to draw us, it gives us the strength to be drawn. It gives us the strength to overcome. If we are a depressant under the power of depression, it gives us the power to rise up in the midst of our depression. And in spite of our depression, we can have a confidence and a position of life in God. It doesn't mean that depressive circumstance changes. It's not supposed to change. You are supposed to change.
Yes, Jesus. Glory.
You are supposed to change. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen. Glory.
You know, there are certain situations that have happened since the 4th of July that have made me to know God's involvement with us on a humanic scale. And one of those situations was that Christmas Day bomber. You know, a guy that was up there in the plane, huh? Was gonna blow the plane up by setting his underwear on fire. Huh? Now, you know, they're telling you that all of this stuff, it didn't go off because of this and this and this. It's not the problem. That's the truth. The truth of the matter is, God did not want it to blow up.
Right.
Hello? Are you there? God did not. There was somebody on the plane, or there was somebody under the plane, and there was somebody praying about the plane, and God did not want to blow it up.
Right.
They could have had five people on there. That man, you know, there's all these conspiracy stories, you know, this and this. I don't care. All I know is this Antichrist spirit. Antichrist. Did you hear? Antichrist. Antichrist means a spirit that is against God. Wants to usurp the position of God's authority. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, by the Spirit, God said to me, I did not want it to blow up. And then the other one was the election they had in Massachusetts. Boy, 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 if that wasn't God, nothing was God. Huh? You know they're ramming it down our throats, you know it. Just you don't like it, that's tough. Here it is. Take it. Ramming it down. Wickedness on top of wickedness, just pushing us. We are on a grease rail sliding into hell. No way of stopping it. They had us by the throat. One man moves out of the way, another man moves into the way, and it's not their man. And that man came out of nowhere. You think he got voted because of his popularity? Absolutely, he may have been popular, but it wasn't that got him voted. God wanted the man in there to give us more time.
Amen.
Hello? God walked right into the devil's camp. And it's not that I'm calling Democrats devil. No, it's not okay. Not okay. No, don't go out of here saying that or thinking that. But I'm telling you, there was a coalition of the devil working to bring forth an agenda before the timing of God. And God intervened. God intervened. Somebody was praying. Was it you? Huh? Well, if it wasn't you, you better be thankful somebody was praying because they saved you and me. They bought you and me more time. Because there's all sorts of things all mixed up in this thing that you and I don't have any awareness of. Control over our over what they do with us, how they do with it, and what it is that they have to report or keep, and can keep hidden. There's so much in it. And most of it is aimed at the religious community. Hallelujah. Did you ever think about that? What if I don't want to go to a doctor? Huh? What if I want to believe God? Huh? That means that if I want to believe God, I better be really serious about it, right? Isn't that right? Because there's going to be a consequence to me if I want to believe God and not them. Huh? They've just stolen my right of liberty with regards to God. They have. They're imposed something. And it goes far beyond that. It's a matter of control. It's like the herdsman over cows. I always feel like a cow when I go into an airport. I mean, I go through a lot of them. And they've got these little... And just like an old cow, I'm walking down there, following the next cow, right around, going around, just like an old cow, and then the lady said, this way, hurry up, and I hurry up. And I'm sitting here, God, I should just lift the thing up and crawl under it. You know, I'm not trying to be contentious. I really am not. But I don't want to feel like a cow. Huh? Besides that, I'm not supposed to be a cow. I'm supposed to be a sheep. Hallelujah. Not cow, sheep. I want to be a sheep. I don't want to be a cow. And everybody's trying to make me a cow. And they want to put these things in the airport. Now, it doesn't concern a lot of you that don't travel. You know, but I travel with my wife, you understand? And I'm walking through this checkpoint, and they have a machine there that they're going to walk her through, and it wants to expose her, strip her naked. And you don't know who's sitting behind the monitor over there. Anybody sitting there has a perverted mind to watch all these naked bodies come through that thing. I don't want that! Do you hear me? What am I doing about it? Wringing my hands, twiddling my thumb, and saying, oh, woe is me, God, I'm not going to travel anymore. I can't do it. But I have a position, I have a place, I have an authority in God that I can pray. That's what you're supposed to do, that's what I'm supposed to do. But I have to know who it is and what it is I'm praying to. We know a lot about Him, but we don't know of Him. We know a lot about Him. We know more about God than most of the churches all put together. If you brought them together in one big convention hall, hallelujah, we would hog the whole meeting because we're the only ones that would know what to say about who God is. But we don't know Him the way we should. We know about Him. We know His power of salvation. Maybe we know His power of baptism. But we don't know Him as a friend. Hallelujah. If I knew Him as a friend, then I would recognize His voice no matter what state of mind I was in. And I could recognize Him if He spoke through the donkey. Huh? I would recognize Him. Hallelujah. There's a position, there's a place that God is requiring of us, brother. We need to pull ourselves up short and begin to assess our personal, private situation. Not looking at our neighbor and examining them. Hallelujah. Although in some of that, maybe that's what it will someday come to, but we're not there yet. And we spend a whole lot of time examining each other. And it's of no benefit. It doesn't produce life within you. Maybe a critical spirit. Huh? You know, there's something to be said about the religious hierarchy. Leaders, they brought that woman. You know, they probably were following these women around who they suspected of adultery, just hoping to catch one of them in adultery so that they could come to him with her to accuse her and to see what he would do. That was a setup, Bob. It was a setup. They just didn't happen along and stumble into the room where all of this was going on. It was a setup. Somebody was looking and following up a rumor. My God. And they finally got it, and they brought her down, and they set her down before her. And then now we're going to see. What were they going to see? Well, they got a good look at their own soul. That's what they got. And what did he say? Let he who has no sin cast the first stone. I'm telling you, what is the spoken word of God? These men were in opposition to this man called Jesus. Do you hear me? How can that phrase do anything to stop them from doing what it was that they wanted to do it? How could it do that? They didn't believe it. So why was it now all of a sudden this word that he spoke? Because it was a word spoke with authority. And it didn't come out of Jesus. It came out of God. And that word went right to the heart of the matter.
Glory to your holy, wonderful name. Thank you.
You know, he talks about the finger of God, right? Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to get down to business with God. We need to understand the reality of what it is that we are facing. We're not facing just the end time. We're not facing the culmination of ages and the coming forth of the Antichrist. We're facing our destinies. You and I are facing our destinies, the things that we were created for. You received the word, I don't know how many years ago. Hallelujah. For what purpose, for what time, and for what point or fact did you receive it? This time, this place, and in this condition in which you are in. Our lifestyle is changing. Maybe you haven't noticed that. The liberty that you think you have, you don't have. Well, I was sitting in my living room and I'm thinking about how much control I have over my life, and I finally came to the conclusion I don't have any control. Do I control the power that comes into my room? Do I control the heat that comes into my furnace? Do I control the gas that goes into my car? Do I control the food that goes into the store? Do you know that in a time of crisis, the store is emptied out in a matter of hours? Huh? Hours. It's gone. It's vanished. What kind of power do you have? How much power do you have over your own body? The organs in it and the condition or the environment that it is in. How much control do you have over it? How much control do you have over a headache? Our toic? Or any kind of thing? How much control do you have? Do you have if your control may be a little more mind over matter than mine. Huh? But I don't have much at all. The only position, the only place of safety for me is where? In God. He's in control of everything. He can make meal in a bag reproduce itself. Don't ask me how he does it. He did it. He can make oil in a cruise multiply itself. Hallelujah. He can give sight where there are no eyes. He can give ears, hearing where there is no ears. He can take the dead that is down in the grave and raise it up and make it walk and talk again. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. Do you know that every miracle that Jesus did demonstrated the authority of his control over the creation? Did you know that? And he demonstrated Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27, and 28. He demonstrated it. Did you hear me? He demonstrated. What was the command? Hallelujah. Well, I read the first part of that verse, so I'm changing my place. Genesis chapter 1. And God said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Dominion. Let them have dominion. Remember the tree? If there was nothing else that he was trying to prove, it was the fact that he had dominion over the life of the tree. You remember it? He wanted figs. It wasn't the time of figs. He knew it wasn't the time of figs. Hallelujah. But that tree should have known the presentation or the coming of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It says, all creation groaneth and travaileth, even until now, for what? To wit, the manifestation of who? The sons. The sons of God. They're waiting for that manifestation. Can you imagine that? That tree knew it was like you and I, rebellious, stubborn, in a position, I'm a fig tree, and I am supposed to produce figs in a certain season, and I don't care who it is that's coming. I'm a tree, and I am operating by the laws of my treedom. Get the point, though, right? We're the same way. We're the same way. We're doing the same thing. The sun is coming, and we're acting like it is our domain. We're acting as though it is our set of rules that has been laid down for us by the Creator. But the Creator knew that it was in the tree was the ability of it being able to recognize the coming of God. You know, one day the Lord moved us over to Arizona. Arizona's always been like hell to me since then. Not a place that I really enjoy, because it was really hell that we were in while we were in Arizona. Huh? Hallelujah. The only difference between that and hell is we were by ourselves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are a lot like that tree. We think that we have control over our situations. We think that we're in charge. We think that we have the position, the right to make decisions that leave God out of it as far as the word that you and I have received. The thing that makes you and me different. Now, please, I'm not saying that we are select and you know, this type of honeydews of God. Honeydews of God. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that there's a calling. Do you agree?
Yeah.
There's an election. Do you agree?
Yeah.
Do you think that calling and election is special?
Yeah.
Do you want it?
Yeah.
Well, then you are called and elected, and you're special. Hallelujah. And there's something very special about it. It's not a matter of, it's mine, give it to me, I want it. It's a matter of, yes, it is my right and my position of inheritance, and I want to achieve that position and relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what you're saying. You've entered into a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ on the basis, not of salvation, not of baptism, but on the basis of position of perfection that talks about sonship.
And glory, Jesus!
Well, some of us need to go back and redefine our job description.
Come on, tell it like you
did. I'm trying to.
Yeah. All right. Came to the right thing.
We certainly hope so. We need to redefine our... You know, I think we need to really get back to the basics of it. We need to redefine our job. We didn't call to be a church. We didn't. We're called to be a body. We're called to be a body. We're called to be sons. A part and a piece of the body. Under the headship of Jesus Christ. Did you say under the head? Not the head on a shelf and the body wandering around headless or fragmented or in pieces. Quite frankly, I don't really believe that we are a body. I believe we're more church than body. You don't become body until you hit the fifth station in the tabernacle, the altar of incense, where you lay down your soul as an offering to God. That's all your aspirations, all your hope, all your desires. And that means they can take you and throw you down on the floor and use you as a rug mat. And you will be pleased because it's pleasing God. You know, the way up is the way down. Jesus had to go to the cross, had to go to the burial in order to achieve the resurrection. You know, we want the resurrection, my dear. We want it. We want the resurrection. We don't necessarily want the rest of the package. But it says that for the glory that was set before him, he what? endured the cross, endured the shame. It says that when he was reviled against, he what? Reviled, not against. We hire 12 lawyers and try to pay the judge off in order to get a ruling in our favor. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. Hello? You're accused of something you didn't do. You're found guilty of a charge that didn't happen. That's the way it works. Hallelujah. But in the midst of all of that, there is an authority that God gives you that lifts you up into a place of exaltation. And your hope is not vindication and release, but salvation for those that are persecuting you. It is that thing that gives you the strength to shake the jail. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? It was that strength that gave Paul and Silas the ability. You know, it was probably the jailer that was beating him. I don't know. That's speculation on my part. But I suppose he had a part in it. And he certainly didn't show any compassion to Paul and Silas when he threw them in the cell and slammed the door. And that jail wasn't like one of these prison cells down here that we are so proud and pleased of. And where some people fight and rob and steal to get back into. It wasn't nothing like that. They were in stocks. Backs bleeding, raw. They evidently didn't have any humane society or fair treatment of prisoners in cell. They had no, that law firm? What is that? Yes, they had no guy there from the ACLU to sue them. My God. And yet they begin to, what? They begin to exercise their authority. Boy, it wasn't in God bring your wrath down upon these bloody people. Wipe them out, God. They dared touch your elect. They dared to rise their fist against one of your anointed. Lord God, smite them, rush them off the face of the earth, bring blood and fire, and bring to naught, and avenge us. Absolutely not. Begin to sing praises. Praises. Oh, thank you. You know, praises is thankfulness for the circumstance you find yourself in. They begin to sing praises. And in the midst of their praises, God said, loose!
Jesus. Yes.
It wasn't an earthquake. It was a voice. And the earth shook because of it. Oh, my God. How many times do you hear about an earthquake and you say, I wonder what God is saying? You know, we feel sorry for the victims of the earthquake, and that's well and good, but we should feel sorry for ourselves because we're not hearing. Hello? We're not hearing. We're not hearing. You know, one man had the guts to stand up and said, it was God that brought it and God that did it. And they pricked him, practically tarred and feathered him. I don't know what his motive was, but I thank God he had the ability to say what he said, because it says when God speaks, the earth shakes. And you don't think God didn't know that when that earth shakes, people would die? My God! Hallelujah. He says, and God said unto them, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, let them have dominion. Dominion means a position or a place of authority. He was demonstrating it. Do you know? Everything he did, he demonstrated this commandment that was given to them. And he said, over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, he told the fish to go down and get a coin. You know, we can get in a financial dilemma, a financial crisis, and when we start wringing our hands and saying, oh my, oh God, what are you doing here? What are you doing? Why don't we get into the Spirit, by the Spirit, and know what it is that God wants us to do? Maybe he wants you to go down to the sea and throw a hook. He told the fish to bite the hook. Or maybe that fish just jumped out of the water into Peter's pocket. I'm telling you, no matter what it was, God spoke to the fish and told him where to find the gold coin, how much it needed to be. Have you ever met a fish that counts? Come on, brethren. Come on. You say it's a miracle. It's a miracle. Yes, it was a miracle, but we don't know how much of a miracle it really was. And we don't know the reality of what it was that God was doing when he was speaking to Peter to go get that fish. Huh? Hallelujah. My God. How about the man that he sent down to get the colt for him to ride into the city on? Huh? What do you think is... What do you think? What would you do if somebody came, you had the keys in your car, Frank, sitting out on the street, gets in your car, cranks it up, and drives off? What would you do? Hey! Huh? 911, right? Oh, you don't have a mobile. You would be running around for somebody who had a phone to find 911. Hallelujah. Absolutely not. He told them what to say. Why did he tell them what to say? Because he had already spoke to the man. Hallelujah. About the colt. And that somebody was coming. And this is what they were going to say. This is... You talk about control. Talk about control. This is control. Hallelujah. This is being in charge. You know, I'm wanting to come to the place. I don't want to have money in my pocket. You know what I mean? I don't want to have resources that are available. I want to have God. I want that. Do you understand what I mean? I want it. I mean, I need some information. I plug into this data bank. Download. I got the information. I need this now over here for this purpose over here. God leading me to do something. I want to plug into this bank. Huh? Download. Hallelujah. I want to find myself in a place or over here doing something in the name of God. I plug in, not to my travel agents, but I plug into God. That's where I want to be. Do you understand? That's the reality I want. I want to be like Stephen. You know, I think it's coming to that. I really do. You know, it's not going to be possible for us to go through what they are going to be doing to you and us to dehumiliate us and to humiliate us and to defile us. God's going to have to intervene. Stephen walking down the road, huh, minding his own business, and finally the Spirit just catches him up. Huh? And deposited him on the road that this chariot from Ethiopia was traveling. My God! Why is that in the Bible? Why? Oh, it's for then. Oh, it's for then? Not for now. Take the page out. Just take it out. Throw it away. Huh? Not for now. I believe this is a living word. I think anything and everything that happened in there is available to you and I. Peter. Oh, Peter. What a fellow. Huh? Peter. He was ornery, he was rebellious, he was stubborn, he was a braggart, he was all hot air and no lift. He was just all out. Oh yes, Lord, I'll stand with you. One, he was a cut and run fellow. One swipe, dropped the sword and took off running. It wouldn't surprise me if he was the one that was fleeing naked. But I don't think it was. That was somebody else. That's what you call getting out by the skin of your teeth. You just leave all your clothes behind. I don't want it, but this man Peter, hallelujah. One day he found God. You know, if Peter can find God like that, why can't I find him like that? I can't. You can. You can find God like that. You can find him like that. He's in the Bible as an example. He's in the Bible to whet yours and my appetite walking down the street. Shadow laying out, people being healed, one after the other, one after the other, people getting healed. My God, he may even raise some dead people. I don't know. Hallelujah. All I know is that if I had somebody dead and I loved them, hallelujah, and I heard about Peter and he was coming, I'd be dragging that body down there and make sure I was on the right side of the road.
Amen.
Why? Why is it in there? Because God wants to do something with your soul. God wants to be in a position or a place of preeminence in your heart and in your mind. It says that we are to love Him. You know, I can't even love Him the way the Bible tells me I need to love Him. There's so many other things crowding in on me that I want to love more than God. I'm like sometimes like the rich young ruler without the riches. I don't have the riches to console me. I can't go to my storehouse and count my money and be consoled, you know. Hallelujah. There were things, he's done this and he's done this and he's done that. He's done all of these things from his youth up. And when he was told what he needed to do, he wasn't willing to do it. Because he wanted that more than what he wanted God. You know, you can serve God for obligation's sake. You can serve God out of responsibility. But the devil always has something greater than responsibility that you have to serve and something that is far greater than your obligatory sense of duty. Always. Why? Because he knows you. You know, my dad, bless his heart, he always said, every man has his price. Why did he say that? Because he never met a man that he couldn't buy. Hallelujah. And we have that mentality because there's always something that we're wanting to hang on to. The devil is able to offer us something more and what we deem greater than the reality of what it is that God wants to give us. And it's because we don't know the reality of what it is he's giving us. We can't know it unless we have time with him. Hallelujah. I want to bring forth one more thing here. Hallelujah. In verse 28, it says, and God bless them. Now, this is after all of the verses that I just read. Verse 26 and the one I didn't read, 27. This is after. You know, this is the first time in the first place that God blessed anything. The very first time. And it wasn't just, I bless you in the name of God. Like we say, well, bless you. It wasn't that. It was an endowment. It was an impartation. Because you're not talking about a man, you're talking about God. And there was something of a power that he gave to them to do what it was that he was asking them to do. Hallelujah. And it says of Jesus Christ that the Spirit was given to him without measure. Isn't that what it says? Huh? And you know it's the same Spirit that's given to us?
Hallelujah.
Did you know that? The same Spirit. Not a different Spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit. Huh? Only one Holy Spirit. And it has given you and I the same ability to do what needs to be done and to do what God did for Christ and what Christ did for God in the midst of humanity. God bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen.